4. Larry's a great guest, and I'm sure he's going to play live as well. But then tomorrow, this is really exciting. You know how at the Midway Cafe, they have a great Sunday matinee, a residency once a month? He's opening for Martin Morrell and Fredette and David Hall and the Dirty Angels at the Midway tomorrow, Sunday, at 4 p.m. And the reason I said it's really going to work out so that it makes sense about Larry is Larry is one of the great musicians that plays. You know, I'm getting all kinds of sounds from my computer. When you called, Satch, yeah, the phone came through.
That's bizarre.
So talk right into that thing.
1, 2, check. 1, 2. Yes.
All right. So bring it down a little bit so you don't try so hard. All right. And
live radio.
So Satch was calling in, and my phone is used to play some music. So the ring came on the air. So that was cool. I hardly ever do that, but it's my fault because I didn't really tell you how to get here. But Larry is your bass player in the current configuration of your band.
He's one of them. Jamie Griffith plays bass as well. And yeah, Larry's one of my mainstays. George Hall plays guitar. John Burton's been playing drums. So, you know, many are called and many more are chosen. So
I have a good
community of musicians that I work with. I like them all. I love them all.
Now, I know that you've been doing this for a long time around here in Boston, but we've never talked about this, but you've got the greatest little nickname.
Yeah.
It's Satch.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from?
So that came from when I was a little kid. We were Boston Celtics fans, and my brothers, thought it was funny. Tom Satch Sanders. They started calling me Satch, and it just seemed to always stick. So
If you have a basketball, can you like twirl it on your finger? Are you like that good? Or?
No, but I can still handle the rocks. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to do that someday.
Okay.
All right. I'm really bad at basketball, so you'll enjoy it. Me, not so much. So tell me how you got here. I mean, did you grow up around here?
You grew up in Danvers on the North Shore, yep.
All right.
And then...
musical household?
Pretty musical household. My older brother plays guitar, so he kind of turned me on to it. But I started as a harp player, Chicago-style blues. That's how I started.
All right.
And then everything just kind of started to connect from there. And then in my first band in the 80s, my second band, really, I had a cover band, Raz, but my first band of note was the Catalinas.
Mm-hmm.
And
Is that when you picked up a guitar along with the harp, or...?
So I'd always known a few chords on guitar, but when I get into the harp, then I really get into all things music. So writing, playing guitar, trying to sing. People thought I was crazy because I wasn't very good at any of them at first, but I wouldn't give up. I just kept doing it,
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with a harp, you have to have the right one in the right key.
That's right.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Or else it really is a bad thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So that even complicates things further because you probably just had whatever, a G harp or a D harp or whatever, and you had to get all the other ones.
Yes. Well, the main ones are A harp for E, key of E,
okay.
C harp for key of G, D harp for key of A. So you get to know the main ones, But it's hard, tough being a harp player in a band, really.
Yeah.
Because not every song can have harp, right? So that's when I started to say, I got to figure something out here.
It's that old song, you got to have harp.
That's right.
Oh, no, wait, that's not harp.
Right.
But still good, at least I got a laugh out of you. It was stupid.
That's right.
But, in the 80s, you mentioned Catalinas. Who were you listening to back then? Who were your influences?
Petty, Elvis Costello, Bruce. And then I graduated from high school in 75, so I kind of missed the Talking Heads Clash kind of explosion, although I started to pick up on that later, but I get into the Clash a lot too.
Ah. So the bands of the day.
Bands of the day, I'm trying to write a good, 3-minute pop song, basically,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you said people thought you were crazy because you weren't very good at any of this, which I don't believe you for a second. but when did it kick in that, you've got the guitar slung over your neck, you've got the harp, and hopefully you've got the one in the key of the music you're playing. When did it start to kick in that this is starting to work? Was it during that Catalina's band, or were you still just working everything out, and it came later?
Yeah, well, first I had a duo with a guy named Kevin McQuinney, who was a guitar player in the Catalina's.
Okay.
We both sang, both played acoustics, and we were kind of trying to do a different type of acoustic thing. We were playing punk songs on our acoustic guitars,
that type of
thing.
All right.
And then we added a bass player. We added a drummer, then we figured out one of us has got to play lead, and I let him do it for a while.
So you were both singing?
We were both singing, And but I wanted to write. He wasn't really into the writing process, so I just started writing from the get-go.
I'm just going to guess that you did a bunch of covers in addition to trying to write.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of Bob Dylan covers, like I said, Tom Petty.
I got to go see that movie.
You know, it's great. It's a little, they take some liberties, but it is a movie. But
not a documentary, yeah.
Yeah, the kid is pretty good at it, yep.
Yeah, I bet. I've heard good things. Do you remember, like, in the midst of all those covers, do you remember when you finally wrote something that you guys said, you know what, this is pretty good. I think this is working.
Yeah, I think it was with the guys in the band kind of go, oh, wow, that works pretty good.
Do you remember the song?
It was a song called Christy. It was in the key of E. That was in my first band, Raz. And then I wrote One More Chance in the stairwell at Salem State College in 1979 or 80. And that became the title cut of our first EP that we did. And I wrote Heart Don't Feel Too Safe in my apartment kind of stairwell.
Yeah, that
in
one,
1981, 82.
We played that one before. Yeah. Last time that I was here, you gave me that song to play.
That's right, yeah. And one of the ones that I play now, well, it's on a CD, and people always ask for it still, is Ravenhead Girl, which was one of the ones I first wrote. So I kind of don't like playing it still, but I kind of do that people ask for it. So if they ask for it, you know, I want to play it for them.
So who were you trying to emulate when you went to see bands? I'm sure you went to see concerts like we all did. Who were you trying to emulate, sing like, play like?
Yeah, I was trying to sing like kind of an amalgamation of Bruce, Petty, and Elvis Costello all rolled in. And
well, you've
Dylan.
Got that kind of voice.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of where I live. So I've been tagged with the Petty thing for years, but I don't know, now that I'm older, I just don't mind it that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a bad guy to be compared to, you know?
Oh, no, not at all. So when you recorded back then, you know, you're just kids. The technology was not anywhere near where it is now, where you got a laptop and a bunch of microphones. You've got a pretty good studio. How did that work? Where'd you do it?
Well, we were doing 2-inch tape. First, we did a tape on the North Shore, the Nestron Sound 8-track. It was pretty good, but not what we wanted. Then we went to Downtown Recorders in Boston, which was a big studio of the time. 2-inch tape. A guy named Jeff Moorhead was the engineer. And this guy, Rocket Bob Slavin, who was a DJ on COZ, he was the producer. He kind of took an interest in us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was, you know, limited takes because you didn't have that much tape.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you went to mix, everybody had to be doing something on the board when it was time to get a final mix. This guy had to do that fader. This guy had to do that one.
Multiple people doing it?
Yeah, because it's, like I said, it's tape and it's not automated like everything is now.
Right. So if you ever wanted to, if you ever wanted to edit anything, it was like, you know,
splicing
you
the tapes and stuff.
You know, the white mark and the slice and the.
There are amazing stories of what people did in the 70s and 80s with tape, you know. Back in the day, you listen to Steve Lukather and some of the stuff that they did with Toto. It was just mind-boggling what they could do. Tape is still a better sound than digital. It's warmer.
But it's not long-lasting. I guess if it's years and decades old, you have to bake it to get it back.
Yeah.
Am I right about that? Or else it's gone.
Yeah, well, no, I don't have the money to really mess around with tape anymore because it's so digital, so expedient. You know,
yeah,
you
just like any analog thing. It's like,
But I do miss the days of tape sometimes, yeah.
I'm going to tell you a quick story since you mentioned some crazy stuff that happened with tape, and you mentioned WCOZ. Well, when I was a kid, I interned at WBCN, and I know that they played around with that because one time when Charles Lacordaire's alter ego, Dwayne Glasscock, was on, they decided they would play a song in a loop. I think it was Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. And how do you think they did that back then? They didn't have any kind of digital, like, just repeat everything. I know that somebody stood with a pencil and went into the studio to hold up the tape, and they played it, and the guy stood with the pencil and just kept playing it and playing it, and it ran around the pencil as it went. This is what they did.
Yep, yep. But it's nuts.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I've heard stories. But I believe it, having been there.
So there, BCN was always pretty nice to us. We got top 3 local song for a couple of months with Heart Don't Feel Too Safe. So,
All right. So, I'd like to sort of share what you guys sound like with everybody. And we've got a couple examples that are recorded that we want to play. And one of them is Little Black Dog. And Little Black Dog comes from which album of yours? I think it's River Boys.
Yep.
And what year was River Boys done?
So River Boys was 2008. And I did it at High and Dry Studio with Billy Conway, God bless his soul. The producer and guy Jay Beyer was the engineer, and Billy as well.
Okay, and who's playing with you?
So on that I had Kevin Levesque. Was playing bass, and then my old drummer from the Catalinas, Lenny Dunn, was playing on that. Unfortunately, Lenny passed last August. And then I just had, I think I did most of everything else myself. Yeah, I played harp on that.
Okay.
On this track, actually. And it's kind of a roots rock kind of tune.
Okay.
I was playing at Toad quite a bit around this time.
It's coming back.
So I was
kind of
influenced at the, I heard it's coming back.
Yeah.
Influenced by that whole roots rock thing a lot, so.
Mm-hmm. And did you write it?
I did write it, yeah.
Yeah, just you? You didn't collaborate with a band or anything?
No,
or?
Just me, yep.
Okay. So
they were all sick of me by that time, so.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I mean, really? All right, so I want to play that one, and I also want to play, you brought a CD here, and just so everybody knows it's real, this is the CD.
Yeah.
We didn't have this one, and it's called Elliott Street.
Yeah.
The street must have some significance.
Yeah, so it's Elliott Street's in Beverly, and it had an old rooming house where a lot of homeless people would go to. They called it Elliott Street. Then they closed it down without much warning, and a lot of them ended up in, like, Danvers State Hospital and shelters and stuff.
Oh.
So I did a whole album about that, real lo-fi thing in my house, but Elliott Street, the song, is about, yeah, that area. It goes from Danvers to Beverly.
All right, so...
North Shore.
North Shore. North Shore boy all these years.
That's it.
And I bet you wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, you know, hey, one never knows.
One never knows. It's never too late. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we play those two songs? I'll start with the one from River Boys, and we'll go right into the one from the CD here, Elliott Street, and it's called Vagabond, and we'll be back right after that,
yeah.
Right here,
yeah.
At WMFO.
Make me late. I've got many appointments. understand. If I am missing, you know where I am. Hey, I miss the boss man. Hope you understand. And I got my
WMFO Medford. I'm Mike, 10:20 in the morning. I'm here with Satch Kerins. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
So listen, I got to say, I've never heard either one of those tracks, you know, because I've kind of sort of gotten into what you're doing now. But I will say that they're two very different sounding songs, and they're separated by about 4 years, it looks like. And by the way, was it Vagabond or Vagabond Girl?
So the title was Vagabond, but I sang Vagabond Girl the whole time. But so that record, Elliott Street, it was really the Catalinas minus a guitar player, me, Lenny Dunn, and Ron Chain on bass. So that was kind of the last vestiges of the Catalina.
You also look very different on the cover. Yeah. Is that you?
That is me.
Really?
Unfortunately. So, yeah. different stylistically, for sure.
Yeah, very, very prominent harp.
Yeah.
For sure. And one's kind of rockabilly, kind of.
Uh-huh. Twang, rockabilly, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you happy with the sonic nature of it, or?
I think it holds up.
I was just going to say the same thing. It sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, that could come out today, and you could be proud of that.
I mean, I don't play harp anywhere near as much anymore, but those two songs featured it
just happened to, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason for that, yeah.
I mean, I've seen you play a couple times live.
Yep.
And by the way, go see him live. We're going to talk about where he is. But you've got a kicking band. I mean, and you do pull out the harp.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. And
it's,
you know,
always
what?
There. Yep.
And you're always, you know what, Tom? You're always smiling.
Thank you.
Because you just love this, right?
Love the play, yep.
I think you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
There's a lot of BS involved, but when you get up there to play, it kind of all goes away.
Isn't that the best?
That's it. Yep.
Isn't that the best? So I mentioned that you're playing out. I've got a couple of dates that are coming up. And you said you've got some friends that you're going to be playing with tonight somewhere?
Tonight I'm playing with some high school pals.
Nice.
One of them, Kyle Bergman, was the drummer for Gary Shane in The Detour for years.
Oh, jeez. There's a name.
And yeah. So we're playing at our high school reunion, and we're booking some gigs to kind of tune up for it.
You're
so.
Playing for the reunion.
Yeah.
How exciting is that for all of you and all the people that you went to school with?
Well, we do it quite a bit, but I think now that we're getting older, people want to talk more. So they actually booked us at a different club to have our thing. And then the sit-down dinner and stuff. Later on, which I probably won't go to.
Mostly,
I don't know.
You didn't really say that. When you see all these folks, were you playing back in high school?
I kind of
did. People know you for
that?
I
didn't really start until like the year out of high school. I think 1976 is when I picked up the harp, but I fell in pretty quickly into it. So those guys, they kind of remember me.
They do.
I think they're kind of surprised I didn't actually play in high school sometimes. I don't talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing with those guys since the, you know, late 70s.
Have you been rehearsing like crazy, or are you just going to do it?
No,
you're just going to do it.
Sporadic ones.
And what kind of stuff are you going to play?
We're doing like Tell Mama, Savoy Brown.
Uh-huh.
We're doing Dwight Yoakam tune. We're doing Jenny, 867-5309.
Okay.
We're doing Tommy Two Tone.
Yeah.
You know, some Petty, Dylan, some Bruce stuff. So, yeah, a good mix of
That's
blues
a great lineup.
Rock. Yeah.
That's a great lineup. All right, so if you're lucky enough to be going there tonight, I know you're going to have a good time, but you've got some really good gigs coming up. The Worthen Attic, which I really enjoy going to up in Lowell, January 18th, you're playing with Hawk 2.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Who, by the way, will be here next week.
Really?
Talking to me, yeah.
You get them all, Mike. You get all the acts.
I do. And then in February, up at Kodo in Salem, which is great food, and it's a really nice place to play, I think. February 8th, again with Huck 2 and Vic Morrows.
You know, remember them, right? The Vic Morrows?
I recognize the name. Probably if I heard something, I would know it was them.
Good guys.
But that's cool. That's February 8th. Then in March, the Ides of, actually.
That's right.
The 15th. See how good I am? The Ides of March, the Square Root in Rossi, with Tad, Oberbaugh, and the Late Arrivals, and the False Positives, Dave Harrison.
Good
that's
guys.
A great band, yes. Yeah.
Great.
And you've got the middle spot, which is a sweet
Dave
spot
and Pete.
There.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and Pete, what a great guitar
player. He's a monster. He's in the Dirty Angels, too.
He is. And
they're playing tomorrow.
They're playing tomorrow, and Larry's opening for them.
Right.
That's crazy. And then Sunday, April 6th, at the good old Midway in JP, they have a great Sunday matinee, and Martin Morell and Fredette have a residency there.
Yeah.
And they make the best noises ever.
It's great. We've played with them a few times, and great guys. And John Havorka.
Yeah, you're playing with a legend in John
Havorka.
He was here about a month and a half ago.
Was he? Another great guy.
Great guy.
So it's important at this stage to play with good people, and even on the bills you're with, you know, you don't want to be any jerks.
Well, I mean, I not that this is about me at all, but I totally agree, and I'll just say that at this age, and I'm in my 60s, I mean, it's like if somebody isn't a good person...
Not worth
right?
it.
Right? Yep. Okay, there you go. Say no more. So if you're going to be able to go and see... these guys starting at the Worth an Attic on January 18th. I would imagine that's a Sunday.
That's actually Saturday night.
Oh, is it? Because I don't think they were doing too many.
Yeah, not many night shows at all.
All right, so that's pretty good. That's a great place. It's very historical.
It's fun. Yeah, Kerouac and Edgar Allan Poe used to hang out there.
Yeah, and they got a good kitchen. So if you can go see, is this going to be a live acoustic or the whole band?
Whole band.
Whole band, yeah. In that place.
Yes, myself, Jamie, George, and John Burton.
All right. Well, I see you've got your guitar here, so we probably should have you play it. And you had a couple of recently now hit songs with your new incarnation of the band that we mentioned. And the first one is called Chantel. And Chantel is an interesting lyric, and it's very, very... of the times.
Topical, yeah.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean... And I'm a high school teacher, and so I see a lot of these kids coming up and starting to deal with these issues of, you know, what gender am I, that type of thing. And I think it's great because I think other kids are really accepting of it,
yeah,
more than they were when I first started teaching, for sure. So that's been good to see. But now you have the Supreme Court and what they're doing to try to squash these kind of rights for these kids.
It's like, leave them alone.
Just leave them alone. Let people do what they want to do. But that's not the country we live in anymore, I don't think. But
until
we change it. But so that's what it's about.
Okay. So we'll start with another song that is more recent even. It's called Glad. And Glad really sticks to the roots that you were talking about, musically speaking, sonically speaking.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about Glad.
Well, it's got to kind of... Although I don't have a harmonica with me today, but it's got the harmonica kind of intro, kind of similar to like the Please Please Me with the Beatles. You know, I've always liked those kind of songs when Lennon pulled out the harp and they placed it perfectly, you know.
Well, I mean, since you didn't bring your harp, we'll just have to imagine it.
We'll just have to imagine.
That's fine. Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, but it's a pop song. I tried to be really positive in a time that's kind of challenging to be positive. So I guess that's where I was thinking. I was thinking, yeah.
All right. Well, really psyched to hear you play. Why don't we start with Glad and then Chantel, and then I'm going to work on you to play one more, even though you didn't really plan on it.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Here's Satch live in Studio A.
Don't know how to contain it, because I'm glad, 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 out of my mind. Out of my mind. The sun goes down over Malibu Beach, Pacific Ocean blue. I know I'm never gonna see it. I couldn't make that dream come true. But there's other things and bigger dreams. Here she comes, she's a sunbeam. I don't know how to contain it. Than steel, colder than sin. I take what it brings, 'cause when she's walking with me, I'm not gonna feel anything but her son on the run, on the run, and it's all around me. I don't know how to contain it, and I'm and I'm glad, glad, glad out of my mind. another thing and pick a dream. If she come, she's a sunbeam. I don't know how to contain it, and I'm glad, glad, glad out of my mind. Glad out of my mind. No other way to frame it, and I'm glad, glad, glad out of my mind. Glad out of my mind.
Excellent. I love that song. So thanks, when you were writing that, I know that it came out of, you know, your daily life and looking at the kids in the school and what's going on. But did that come easily? Did you, what came first, the music, the lyrics? Probably the lyrics, huh?
So I had that melody for years, and I always wanted to do something with that melody.
Oh,
that,
no kidding.
And even in the Catalina days, but I could never kind of put it to...
From way back then.
So, yeah, back there. And then I said, you know what the heck? I'm going to try that melody I had back then. I'm going to see if I can do anything with it. So,
do you have like a notebook of stuff?
Or? Oh, yes. Yeah. Notebook, and I'm putting stuff on, you know, the notes program in here and hitting the voice recorder for ideas that come up and things like that.
It's awesome. All right.
Got to try to stay on it. You know?
Well, that's good. It's a nice, hopeful song, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we need. Write another one like that.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it'll help. All right, well, let's hear Chantel, and you told us what that's about. The lyrics are very poignant,
yeah.
So if you haven't heard it out there, this is a great song. It's called Chantel, and it's Tom Satch live here in Studio A.
So it's about a punk rocker, say, in the Lower East Side, who kind of identifies as something else, and it's how he's dealing with it with his guys and his band.
The wall. Seems that the tribal leader showed up with a fuchsia green velvet shawl. So excuse me, gents, for just a minute. They went inside the bathroom to change. Came out with mile high leather skin, platform shoes, looking like Sylvain. Nothing been the same. Chantel changed her name. Chantel, don't call me Charles. Chantel, don't call me Charles. Chantel said, I'll tell you, you better duck if you ever, ever call me Mr. Chuck. It's the same cat we've always known and loved, with that same city attitude. So I went out and bought some silver mesh stockings and mascara, skyline blue. And everything's the same, even though Chantel changed her name. Everything's the same, even though Chantel changed their name. Change their name.
if I said I didn't want that to end? I mean, that's really an addicting melody. Where did that come from?
Yeah, sometimes you just sit down on guitar, and for that one, I just hit a chord, and that melody just came out.
Now,
sometimes you get lucky like that.
Now, the verbiage, I mean, it's quite strongly worded. Is the protagonist actually Chantel, or is it the folks that are looking at what's going on? Because it's sort of like, hey, don't call me Charlie, you know.
The protagonist was born as Charles, and now is identifying as Chantel, and whatever that may be, whatever he wants, they want it to be.
Because they is saying everything's the same. Even though Chantel changed
their name. Their name,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I caught that.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, and I've heard, obviously, the full band version of that, but that's a great acoustic song to do.
Yeah, it works out well. And, you know, you can get the electrified version on Bandcamp, where all my stuff is.
Yep.
As well as Those Lies.
Are you on there as Tom Satch or just Tom Kerens or...?
It's Tom Satch Kerens for one, and just Satch Kerens Band for another. And
so you got a couple.
Kind of keep it, mix it up. Yeah.
All right, so look around, everybody. I mean, Bandcamp's a great place to get music because I think it's once a month on a Friday.
Yes.
You guys get everything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can name your price otherwise, too.
So a sale came in yesterday. It was pretty good. It was Bob Donovan or somebody from somewhere.
Oh, I know Bob. He's a
good guy, yeah. So...
Yeah.
It's $2, man. Keep it coming, everybody.
Listen,
you never know. That's right.
Yeah. So the other day you mentioned to me that you're doing a new project with Dave Minahan at Woolly Mammoth. And you had said that you might be able to be talked into maybe doing one of those new songs that you're working on.
Yeah, well, I'd love to, Mike. Absolutely. And Woolly Mammoth and everything you hear about Minahan is true. He's
gotta
just
be.
A gifted guy. He's really disarming, you know. You're walking with this legend and stuff.
Well, because where he's been.
And everything, you know. And but he's just kind of a down earth guy, and he's funny. He's a funny cat. So it's been fun.
I heard that he's very involved too. Like if he hears something that maybe should happen in a song, he'll tell you.
And absolutely.
And if it's like if it needs like more cowbell, just for a bad example, he'll say, "Wait a second, I got a cowbell." He'll go grab it, and you know he's very involved.
He did that to this song. There was a section where he said. You had to do a pause after that chorus and then come in with it again. And maybe you'll see what I'm talking about. But it was like, I was like, wow, that's dead on.
So he's really a producer, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's great to have his mark on it. All right, so talk about this project and the song that you want to do.
Yeah, so this song, there's a song that's somewhat confessional. There's a song kind of about the times we're in. And there's a song about maybe a guy doesn't treat his girlfriend all that well. There's a song like that. And then this song here about a strong, kind of independent woman. She lives in Troy, New York. Her name's Helen. And the name of the song is Helen of Troy.
Based on somebody real or?
A few people, prototypes, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So when do you expect this will be out?
So I'm hoping for the spring.
Okay.
My wife's from upstate New York, so I'll need to send this out to her. She's actually from Rochester, but we travel through there. We see some of those towns, those upstate New York towns. We kind of travel through there. I also kind of put a little bug in my head, too.
All right. Well, I'm psyched. This is about as exclusive as it gets.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
To Uncle Roy, I don't need a man acting like a boy. That's what she said, Helen of Troy. Next day they went to the supermarket. She gave him another try. All he did was talk about himself, and she just rolled her eyes. said it's getting hard to filter out the white noise. That's what she said, Helen of Troy. She don't need those pretty things, destroying what she really needs. She don't even need to fill no void, Helen of Troy. What she said, Helen of Troy. She don't need them pretty things, destroying what it is that you really need. Maybe she don't need to fill no void. She went down to the bus station, cause she was gonna move, pull up stakes. And he stepped off a greyhound. She knew as soon as she saw his face. He walked up and said, "How you doing?" They call me Troy. She smiled a smile that was forever to Helen of Troy. Smile that was forever, Helen of Troy.
See, that was great. See, even now, I mean, when I catch your eye, you're smiling now. I mean, you're just loving doing this. Yeah. And you're a storyteller.
I try to tell stories. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's very. You've always got a story in there, and you've got a protagonist. That's very good. I mean, it's the people that you said that you sort of emulate do that too. So you're continuing the whole great history of being a singer-songwriter storyteller.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's what I like to do. Yes. Yep.
Yep. So these are you said there's four songs you're working with. Minion.
Yeah.
It'll be an EP.
It'll be an EP, and I'm thinking maybe if I can scrape up some money, go in and do some more drum bass tracks for maybe I got some more songs I could do. But for right now, these four songs sound pretty good. I think I'll be an EP.
Okay.
Coming up
and
I hope.
Okay. Did you write them all yourself, or do you collaborate now in your golden years?
Myself, but yeah, I'm open to collaboration.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually got a couple of songs I like to bring in to the guys I play with at this rehearsal spot we have and say, what do you think? What do you guys hear anything different? You want to do something with it? Something like that along those lines. So yeah.
So they're very personal. I bet the lyrics are all yours pretty much.
Yeah.
So. You know, but you'll certainly take input about the music.
Yeah, and you know, I'd like, if anybody wants to write songs with me sometime, hey, I'm all for it.
You heard it here.
That's right.
Contact me. I'll get you in touch with Tom. All right, so that was great to hear. If you want to hear this guy and his band live, you've got a bunch of opportunities to do it over the next couple of months, starting this month, actually tonight, if you're part of the reunion, which most of us aren't, but that'll be very fun. It's all covers and all that stuff.
Yeah, a couple of mine, but it's Minglewood Tavern in Gloucester, right on Rogers Ave.
Okay, so if you're up in Gloucester,
yeah,
on Rogers Ave, you could stop in.
Yeah, across from Bang the Song Studio, where I did a lot of this other stuff too. So,
if people walk in, then you're gonna, who are you? You weren't part of the class. You're not gonna do that, right?
No,
you'll be happy.
Whoever wants to come,
buy them a beer.
Anybody from the '70s is welcome. Anybody from any era is welcome. Actually, what am I saying?
All right, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it's like, well, I'm from the '60s. I can't come.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So Worth an Attic on January 18th. You said it's a Friday night, Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night.
Saturday
I think.
Night
yes.
At the Worth, and that's a great take. It's in Lowell with Huck 2. Then in February on the 8th, great venue, Kodo in Salem, again with Huck 2 and Vic Morrows. The Ides of March, March 15th, at the Square Root in Raleigh, with Tad Overbaugh and the Later Live Arrivals, and a great band, Dave Harrison's False Positives. And Sunday, April 6th, at the Midway in JP, what a bill. Martin Morello for Debt. And John Havorka band, along with this guy and his band, Satch Karen's band. That's just great on April 6th.
Yes.
So, as we close out here, anything in particular you want to talk about before we go?
No, it's just been, I should have started off with thanking you for all the support.
It's true, you should have.
You've given me this year, and we get support on Little Stevens Underground Garage and other people.
That's
in,
a big deal.
In your world. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, what song or songs did they play?
It was Those Lies they played, yeah. Genya Raven picked it out of the pile. She played it first.
Isn't that something?
Said some nice things about it, so it was nice, yeah.
And I think I remember you have Brad Helene playing bass on that.
Brad Helene played bass on that.
Yeah, he's coming in 2 weeks. They're all coming in.
Is he coming with the Eaters or with Nervous?
No.
I
know he's back with the Eaters.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about if he wants to talk about that, but mm-hmm. he's got a whole bunch of music in his basement, and he says, I never get to share it with anybody. He says, so can I come in and just sort of bring stuff and play it and talk about it, which is amazing because he's captivating when he talks about music.
Yeah, he's been, you know, Room Full of Blues and Ministry. And
I know, he went around the world.
Yeah, you know, so he's done it all.
Yeah, I think he's here in 2 weeks, listening audience. That's going to be a good thing.
A great guy, too. I loved working with him.
All right. Well, Satch, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for coming in. Next time you do it, you'll know how to get here real easily. But I'm glad you found the place and really love your music. Anytime you want to come back, just let me know. And we'll do it again soon.
All right, Mike. We'll do it again soon. One of the shows. I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. All right, Satch Karens, everybody. That was pretty cool. So with about 13 minutes left until Something About the Women comes in, I'm going to play a set that is starting out, at least, with two Boston bands. Brand new music from Diablo Gato, Jesse Mayer's band. I'm going to play July 1969, which is New Noise. And from the album of the year, I think it was, Strange Beginnings. From Jennifer Tefft and the Strange. I'm going to play something there, too. So let's start off with Diablo Gato. New Noise, right here at WMFO.
Yeah.
10:59 in the morning here at WMFO Medford. I'm Mike. Been with you for the past 2 hours, and big thanks to Tom Satch Kerens for coming in and doing what he does. That was great. All right, let me tell you about this little quick set that we did, and then we'll talk to Jane, who's in for something about the women. I started with Diablo Gato, Boston band, from their latest called Snake Oil Salvation. That was July 1969. Then Jennifer Teft and the Strange. What a great album they did called Strange Beginnings. Should have known better. And then that last song. I don't know anything about them except that they're from Australia. I hadn't played it before. I was just telling Jane, though, I have a note next to it on my notes there that said, play this! And I just love that funky stuff. And I have to say, although it's radio, Jane and I were just like bopping around
moving
to that.
Moving and grooving.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, I love finding stuff that's just new and cool.
And Mike, you always do. Your new noise is great. For our listeners, I was telling Mike when I came in, like, there's nobody that interviews artists like Mike.
Okay.
Such respect. Great radio voice. It's all good. So Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. What did you do on the New Year?
What did I do on the New Year? Actually, saw a great production at the ART in Cambridge, Diary of a Tap.